Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Moment of Hope. Every year on September 10th, the world observes World Suicide Prevention Day. The international theme for 24 to 26 is changing the narrative on suicide, and with the call to action, start the conversation. Today, we are extending that thought with our focus, changing the narrative on suicide from silence to support, from despair to hope. For many years, suicide has been surrounded by silence, fear, shame, stigma, and misunderstanding. Families sometimes do not know what to say. Friends may notice that something is wrong, but are afraid to ask. And persons who are struggling may remain silent because they fear being judged, misunderstood, or rejected. Today, we want to have a safe, compassionate, and practical conversation about suicide prevention. With us this morning is Dr. Donovan Thomas, a Jamaican suicidologist and the founder and president of Choose Life International, a faith-based nonprofit organization focused on suicide prevention and mental wellness in Jamaica and internationally. Welcome to Moment of Hope, Dr. Donovan. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Dr. Barnett. Such a delight to be with you once more.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's good to have you. We have heard the phrase changing the narrative on suicide, but before we can change the narrative, we first need to understand what that change really requires of us. When we say changing the narrative, Donovan, on suicide, what exactly are we talking about?
Wow, such an important question, Dr. Margaret. We are being asked to change the narrative, both on how we think about suicide and how we talk about it. For a long time, suicide has been treated as something that should not be discussed. There may be shame, blame, or judgment attached to it. Sometimes people experience suicidal thoughts and are told things such as, you are crazy. You have so much to live for. Other people think that they're wrong. You need to have more faith. People see them as faithless, as mad, and really, there's this narrative that we need to change. Changing the narrative means replacing judgment with compassion, silence with conversation, stigma with understanding, and isolation with connection. It also means recognizing, Sister Margaret, that suicidal thoughts may emerge when a person is experiencing intense psychological and emotional distress and feels unable to see another way through that pain. The question therefore changes from what is wrong with you to what has happened to you? What are you experiencing? How can I support you? And how can we get you the help you need in this time? Instead of condemning, It is act with compassion to help.
You know, Doc, sometimes we're afraid to ask the questions because we're afraid of the answers we will get. We struggle to say that we are struggling because it makes us feel weak. So if changing the narrative begins with the conversation, we also have to understand why so many people who are hurting find it so difficult to speak about it.
You know, there are many reasons. And I'd like to begin with the fear that people face, that they're going to be rejected, they're going to be judged, they're going to be condemned. Others are concerned about becoming a burden to their family. Some may have previously tried to talk and felt dismissed. Others may believe that nobody could possibly understand what they are going through. And in my own journey of just working with people who are suicidal, I find that in this space, there is so much denial. There's this denial and think, not my people, not my children, not my parents, not my students. And there's a fear of being judged and condemned. And sometimes the people simply cannot find the words to communicate because in our culture, we prefer not to talk about it. We bury it and we pretend that all is well. That is why we should not assume that because someone hasn't asked for help, they don't need help.
It seems to me that this conversation we're talking about is not only about suicide, but a building the kind of relationship that will allow somebody to open up when things are going wrong. Talk to us about that. What's happening there?
I'm going to respond to you in two ways. I'm going to draw an example from corporate. I served in the corporate world visiting companies for a number of years, and we still do. I met a man at the photocopy machine, and I said, you should come to my office and let's have a conversation. He said to me, I don't have any reason to come to talk to you, Doc. But anyway, I will come and sit with you. And I said, come on, we'll talk about it. When I listened to his story, in 2 years, he has had 7 deaths in his family. And all of that was buried. So people don't understand that they can live more fulfilled lives by just getting the help that they need to talk about the struggles and the challenges. They sometimes think that psychology or counseling is for those other people, but not my situation. I had another man who was just working through a difficult time in his health. And this is in the context of church now. And he shared this publicly in our Happiness Gala in New York earlier this year. He said, when he first saw my wife and I in the space, the church in which we operate, he thought, oh, I wouldn't need their services. But he was going through difficult times. And just one conversation with him helped him to appreciate, you know, we can think outside of this box. So we're saying, as we provide help, don't think that you are outside of the reach of help. Recognize that there may be something that can be addressed in your life to help you live a more fulfilling, more satisfactory, a happier, healthier life.
What are some of the warning signs that may indicate that someone is experiencing significant emotional distress or may be at risk of suicide?
You know, there are several signs. There is no single sign that says, this is it. Mm-hmm. But when we look at the whole profile, the behaviors and the statements that the people use, and I want to say we have got to use our ears. What do we hear them saying? Are they making statements that sound like, I am a burden to my parents, I am trapped, I am worthless, I am hopeless? Are they using statements like, I wish I were not here, my parents would be better off without me? Those kinds of language just speak to the hopelessness that people feel. And we have got to be very deliberate in understanding that people just don't say things. It usually comes from a place of pain. What are they saying? Some may outrightly say, if I ever fail my exam, I'm going to kill myself. That must be taken seriously. And then we need to use our eyes, our ears, our eyes, observe them. There is deterioration in their quality of self-care, for instance. Demotivation reflected in mood changes. Have they now gone to being alcoholic, drinking or smoking? We also have to notice significant withdrawal from family and friends. We have been through our celebration in Jamaica, Emancipation, and if we have noticed that some people have been missing from the spaces that we usually connect with them, it may be of interest to just investigate what's going on. Christmas is coming up. Sometimes people decide they want to withdraw from friends and family because they don't feel comfortable or things are going on with them. We want to ask you to be deliberate in responding when you notice those things. Somebody who gives away the things that they love, the dress that fits them so well, the toy, the game that is being taken from one person's house to the other. Those could be a warning sign or indicating that they are trying to bring closure. We had a 14-year-old in Jamaica who died by suicide. 2 weeks before he died, he took his Xbox and gave to his friend. He took it from his mother's house, looking for somebody who he knew would take care of it, writing goodbye notes, talking about death, drawing with death themes. Those could be indication that things are happening. Don't just dismiss changes and say, oh, they're just going through a phase. Don't assume someone is merely seeking attention. I usually say to my people, give the attention and save a life.
Wow, give the attention and save a life. We're talking to Dr. Donovan Thomas, founder and president of Choose Life International. Doc, you were talking about the signs, the telltale signs, and I think you may have located those signs in the family, in the household. But what about the workplace? How can a colleague notice when something may be off with another coworker?
Well, there are several examples I can give. A coworker going through a difficult time suddenly decides to acquire a gun. That could be a warning sign, because access to means of death is a risk factor. Then deterioration in the work ethics, lack of interest in participating in activities at work, production decreasing, absenteeism, and might I say presenteeism, absent from work, but also present, but not producing. Those can be warning signs. The person has just lost interest in life, probably deterioration in self-care, in appearance, in their deliverables, and making statements that, you know, I am not going to be around next week.
Donovan, in church, we will say that if you're thinking about suicide, you don't have the Holy Spirit with you, because that's not a Christian ought not to be thinking about that. Is that a myth? Can those thoughts, you know, invade our presence and our thinking processes in church?
Thank you so much for this important questions. And as I respond to this, I want to just express my condolences to the several congregations across Jamaica who have had losses of loved ones in their churches. Somebody who says, if you ever break up with me, I'm going to kill myself. Whether in church or outside of church, a breakup can be very difficult. And I want to zero in a little bit on teenagers. When teenagers become sexually involved and the relationship breaks up, whether they are in church or in the school or wherever they are, the trauma that they go through is similar to what adults go through during the divorce proceedings. And their emotional state is not developed enough to be able to handle that. Are they going through breakup of relationship? Let's come alongside them and help them process that. Are they going through difficulties in school? Are they the ones that are withdrawn? But let's not miss those who are the life of the party. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they are the same ones that are helpful. And sometimes that outward expression is masked by the pain of rejection and the fear that if this relationship breaks up, I am not going to be able to survive that. So look for those signs.
You know, Doc, sometimes some of us are afraid. Sometimes we see the telltale signs, but we're afraid because we're afraid of the answer. So if somebody says, you ask the question guardedly, are you thinking about suicide? And some of us go around the corner because we don't want to call the word suicide. What if they say yes? What do we do? What kind of safety net is there? Can you tell us where we can get help?
Okay. So I want to say to our pastors, our church leaders, our teachers, our counselors, our parents, it is okay to call the word suicide. Death by suicide. So, how do you respond? I want to say what not to do. Don't reject them. Don't curse them. Don't tell them how they're wicked and them have no sense. But come alongside and said, is there something I can help you with? Is there a challenge that you're facing that we can come alongside you? Because sometimes people, even our churches, they don't know the resources available in the churches. And they take decisions and you realize, then is that what's causing so much problem? Because somebody else may be able to help find a work, find a some food, and that may be all the person needs. And I want to say to church and community to be very practical. If somebody is suicidal, let's say the person is hungry. Just don't say, let's pray about it. Give them a food. I remember a lady out in the country was suicidal. She called after a radio show, and she said, when I talked with her, I realized that she was so overwhelmed by life. She was a single mom, had two children, couldn't find the food. And we were able to say, well, she had a chicken coop that she, if she had 25 chickens, that would restore the hope. We bought her the 25 chickens and some feed. And that was the point of restoration of hope. Do something practical to help. Know the resources. Call the helpline, 888-639-5433. Talk to the person about accompanying them to get help. Or if the person does not want you to go, ask them if you can help to make the link. You do the research. You empower the person and make a commitment to stick with the person to walk the path. Because they fear rejection, they fear disclosing, and then feeling rejected. So commit to walk the path with them. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The program is called From Silence to Support and From Despair to Hope. What does hope look like for someone who may feel that there's no way forward? What does hope look like?
For the lady, it meant, I just mentioned, it meant 25 chickens and a bag of feed. For the lady who couldn't find the food when I took those things from my wife's kitchen, hope for her was few pieces of food and something to cook tonight. For some, it could be a hug, a handshake, a word, a kind word. It may be just sitting with somebody for a while. Lady parked up right by the seashore, getting ready to drive over. Somebody came and just parked beside her without knowing what she was going through and just chatted with her for a while. Person didn't realize that she was an angel to a hurting people. Hope could mean different things to different person. What it doesn't mean is judgment,
yes,
condemnation, name calling, and it means support, kind words. And Sister Margaret, as you know, many people who are suicidal have changed their minds. And they're thinking about suicide. The words we use can help them to change their minds or to continue along the path to death. Let's speak life.
Great. We want to now talk about the conference that is coming up in September, on September the 10th. Tell our listeners what to expect, how they can get to the conference and be a part of it.
September 10th, World Suicide Prevention Day. Under the theme, let's talk, let's listen, let's prevent suicide, keep the conversation alive in a digital world. And we have 6 presenters who are going to be with us, talking about topics like the silent crisis in a digital age, social media, sextortion and suicide prevention, a trauma-informed approach to suicidality. Call Choose Life International, 876-920-7924, or go to our website, www.chooselifeintl.org. You can WhatsApp me at 876-869-3403. Be a part of those who are helping to bring hope to Jamaica and beyond. Join us on September 10th.
Thank you so much, Dr. Donovan Thomas. Thank you for the work that you do across the globe. And let's pray now for the families who may be struggling, and just pray for Jamaica in general.
Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we cry out to you. We know of so many families who are struggling because they are hurting because of the loss of loved ones. We know of so many families who are struggling as they deal with finding help for others who are suicidal. We pray for Jamaica, land we love, even as we process the impact of the recent hurricane and all that is going on. I pray, God, that we will choose life. We pray that you bless this program. And cause, Lord, that this will be a ray of hope to many across this nation and beyond. Bless our hearers and their families, and help them to do what is necessary to get the help they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Suicide prevention begins when silence is replaced by compassion, isolation by connection, and despair by access to meaningful support and hope. If you have been triggered by this conversation, call 888-639-5433. Until next time, there is hope in knowing the Lord.
Before we go, if you are in need of prayer, counseling, or further information, please call the Missionary Church Association's head office, or you can WhatsApp them at 876-791-0527. A reminder that regardless of what you encounter in life, there is hope, and there is power in prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And so we encourage you to pray by yourself or join with a family member or a friend. And let us pray, being mindful that God answers prayers. Do join us next week.